The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org. Our sermon this morning comes from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. We have, through the season of Advent, been looking at the names or titles that Isaiah predicted would be given to this child, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, in this passage, we see two more names that are given to him, that of Jesus, and one that we use less often, Emmanuel. And this morning, in a very traditional manner, we're going to look at the sign of Emmanuel, the reality of Emmanuel, and the gift of Emmanuel. As we look to understand this title, which likewise comes from the book of Isaiah, and why it is applied to Jesus. Because Jesus had a name. We don't typically call him by the name Emmanuel, and that's in part because Emmanuel is a title. He has a name that at that time was very popular, a derivative of the name Joshua, who was a very well-known and popular figure to Hebrew people, Jesus. And it means Yahweh saves. This was Jesus' name. It was a very common name, an extremely common name. And for God to intervene and save in any sense is good news. Joshua was given this name, it seems, in part because he saved the peoples. He led them in battles. He led them into the promised land. God had indeed sent many saviors, judges, kings, and prophets to deliver his people from all kinds of oppression. But this Savior, though he had this very popular and very common name, though very appropriate, would be different. And the name Emmanuel indicates this. He's given this name as a title because the name is a sign. It has a meaning. Names like this, like the ones we've explored over the past month, point to something you wouldn't necessarily know otherwise. They have a meaning. Signs point to things. For instance, the patriarch Abraham, when he had a child by his wife Sarah, they named him Laughter. Of course, we know this more commonly as Isaac. I've heard some people say the name would have been pronounced originally as Isaac. So it even sounds like you're laughing. That was an unusual name. That was not a popular name. But he was given that name for a reason. Because when someone asked Abraham or Sarah, why does your child have such an unusual name? Why would a parent give their children strange and unusual names? I don't know. Many of my children have Greek names that aren't even otherwise properly names. But sometimes this happens. And why? I can tell you why. Because when you ask, why does this child have such a strange name? What's wrong with you? The answer is, this name has a meaning. I laughed at God one time. You shouldn't do that, by the way. I laughed at God when he promised me something, and then he gave me the promise anyway. He loved me anyway. He didn't take my derisive laughter and judge me for it. He loved me and proved me wrong and made me laugh rightly. So my child's name is Laughter. Jesus is given the name Emmanuel. And the text even explains here, there's a parenthetical aside that explains the name. It means God with us. Now, this doesn't simply mean something like God is on our side, right? People invoke God for all kinds of things, and they really shouldn't most of the time. No, its primary meaning is God is present. He is with his people. He is for his people. He loves his people, which of course often means also being against them and rebuking them and telling them when they are wrong. You can't simply say God is with us. That vindicates us. That's not how it works. This name has a meaning that indicates that God is with his people. However, that's the sign. Jesus does something more than this. There's a reality of Emmanuel that Jesus embodies. Jesus goes beyond the sign because Jesus doesn't merely indicate that God is with his people. There are many names like that that indicate this is true, even though you may not be able to see it. No, Jesus is God with us. In Jesus, we have together God and man perfectly and at peace. In Jesus, God is with humanity. He doesn't indicate that God has a particular perspective on humanity. That's true. That's a lesser meaning. He is united with humanity. In Jesus, there is peace with God. It's real. And because he loves for there to be peace between God and man, he gives us the reality in the person of Jesus. What I mean is, he doesn't just say, oh, somewhere out there that you'll never see, there is something that embodies the union of God and man. No, that union of God and man came to us, came to earth, so that he could expand that peace to other people. Jesus, to put it another way, is the perfect Son of God, the human being who is at peace with God like no other human being is. And because he loves that, you and I can have that peace by adoption, which he has by nature. Jesus is God's only natural-born child, but God has many, many, many adopted children because God loves for there to be peace. He will adopt us into his family so that we can share in that peace, so that what is transcendent and ultimate is together with what is imminent and close and, from our perspective, concrete. This otherwise impossible reconciliation has already happened in Jesus, the one who is God and man together. And so Jesus being with God is with us, the presence of God with us. And his being with us indicates that God is with his people and embodies it at the same time. When you love someone, and maybe I should say children, you love presents, don't you? Yeah, I see some nods. I think the adults do as well. But we know this intuitively. When you love someone, you want to be with them. You want to give them things to indicate that you want to be with them and love them. You want to speak with them and communicate with them. And this is what God has done in Jesus. He has physically and spiritually drawn close because he wants to be with his people. He has given gifts also because he loves his people and he communicates with us. He causes the good news to be preached and his word to go out because he loves people. But the gift of Emmanuel is different from other gifts. And when God adopts us into his family, he does something unusual. When God wanted to invite us into his family, he gave us a gift. Normally, when you adopt someone, you take them and you bring them into your family. When God did it, he took his son and he put him into our family. And so this isn't just a legal transfer. Because when he gave his son to us, we hated him. And we resented him. the one who really was better than us, we resented him for it. And ultimately, we put him to death. And it did not change God's disposition. He gave the gift for this purpose, so that when we were at our worst, and so now we have no reason to think that God should give us anything. Having given us his son, God determines to give us everything else. If that requires resurrection from the dead, so be it. Jesus rose again, not in spite, but in joy and triumph, giving peace to the very people who had abandoned him and caused him to be put to death. And God then began the process of adopting many, many sons and daughters. Romans 8:32 puts it this way, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Imagine that you're in trouble. You're broken down by the side of the road. It's cold. You're broke. And you dropped your cell phone. Somebody stops and loans you their phone, and you call someone for help. If you call an Uber, you might get a ride. But if you call a friend, if you call a parent, if you call your spouse, you get much, much more. Say, "I'm in trouble, and I need help." And there are all kinds of things that you may need. So where am I going to stay? What will I eat? What's going to happen tomorrow? But when you call someone who loves you, all those questions are answered. The parent arrives and says, "There are no more problems. I'm taking care of you." This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He has adopted us into the family. He has given his son to us. How will he not with him also give us all things? Whatever the problem is, you are going to get much, much more. If it takes resurrection, so be it. God will raise your body from the dead one day so that you can receive everything he intends for you to have. This is universal and eternal good news that God has given his son to us so that we might have everything. In Christ, God has given himself to human beings like you and I. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, forgive us our sins, which are many. Forgive us our unbelief and our resentment. Father, we are so often angry with you. We so often accuse you of not caring for us. Forgive us. And Lord, we will take you at your word. We rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born to save us and who was born to be God with us. We so long for his return that your presence with us might be full and complete. And we take you at your word, knowing that having given us Jesus, you will not withhold any good thing. We rejoice in you, our Heavenly Father, and our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.